This is John DeMaria, your friendly host. It is Friday here in the Eastern Sierra, and probably most places in the planet. I say that because my daughter's in Mumbai right now, and it's like, you know, like 12 and a half hours difference. So when I say it's Friday here, it's like I always got to think about Sydney and where she is in the other side of the world. But it is Friday here in the Eastern Sierra, and it is time now for our ACE program here on KMMT. Today, we've got a brand new guest, first-timer, Jaime Lopez-Wolters, who is with Friends of the Inyo. He's the Desert Lands organizer with us today. How are you today, Jaime? It's nice to meet you.
Doing good. Hi, John.
Oh, that's good. All right, so you've been with the Friends of the Inyo for how long?
Since December, yeah, so pretty new.
Oh, wow, you're the newbie on the block. Okay, that's nice. Mm-hmm. And what does the Desert Lands organizer do? What is your role over there?
My primary focus is on protecting desert lands in southern Inyo County, so conglomerate mesa, and the mining threat against that is a big part of my focus. But I participate in a lot of other things too. So we have events that we organize, and we'll talk about that.
Okay, right. So when you say protector, are you out there like a sheriff, you know, patrolling the place, or what is it?
No, I mean, I do go out quite a bit, but it's mostly to document and learn and bring people out to learn about it so that people know about it and then care about it.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, Jaime, you've got a kind of an interesting background. You were not born here in America, were you?
No, I was born in Amsterdam in the Netherlands and grew up there part of my life. And then we moved to Guatemala when I was about 7 years old. So I grew up in a small town there in the mountains. I feel like that's where I got my connection to nature and love of the outdoors and the mountains.
Right. Now, what led your family to live, you know, in the Netherlands and also in Guatemala? Was it your dad's job, your mom's job? What?
My mom is Dutch, so that's why I was born there. My dad is from Peru, and she was a world traveler well before I was born. So she met my dad in Peru, and he came back to Holland with her. And then it was actually my mom's impetus to move to Guatemala as well. She just loved the nature of the place and the culture, the Mayan culture, and really wanted me to grow up in a place that had a strong native culture like that. So.
Oh, very, very nice. Now, your love of nature happened in Guatemala as a young person. Did you end up going to school to learn about nature?
I did, yeah. I went back to the Netherlands when I was 15 and ended up going to Wageningen, which is the agricultural university in the Netherlands. Studied tropical forestry, environmental science, basically, and it kind of prepared me for a job just like this.
Oh, absolutely. Now, your English is absolutely perfect. I don't hear, like, an accent. You know, sometimes, you know, when you live overseas or different parts of, even America, right? We have different accents. I'm from New York,
sure.
So I know I tend to get my, you know, my New York on, you know, when I, especially after I speak with my parents, you know, after not for a while. But you don't have an accent. Is it that your parents didn't, or?
No, and I get that comment a lot. No, I mean, my first language was Dutch. My second language was Spanish in sort of elementary school. And then in middle school, I attended an English-speaking, very small school in Guatemala. And most of my friends at that time were English-speaking. They were either American or Canadian. So I actually learned it from them. I never learned it from a Dutch person with a Dutch accent, so I didn't pick up any accent.
Oh, I see. Well, that's cool. Yeah, my mom grew up in the Bronx, right? And her best friend from 2 years old, you can tell the block she lives on. But my mom, you know, does not have an accent. And, you know, maybe she does to maybe other people, but when I listen to her, I don't hear Bronx, but she's with her friend. And it's like, you know, how do you guys even know each other? You grew up together. So it's interesting how that works. I guess you can make a concerted choice, but it sounds like in your case, just those primary years you had influences in your teaching where they were, you know, English speakers first. Awesomeness. All right. So, you know what? I've got a question. It just came to me. It's like, what is it like living in Guatemala? What's the culture like there?
So I grew up in a small town on a beautiful lake called Lake Atitlan. The town is Panajachel. Almost anybody that has gone to Guatemala will probably know of this town because it's a very popular tourist destination. And it was amazing. I mean, I was there in the late 80s, early 90s. It was interesting in the sense that it was kind of still during the time that it was technically civil war and there was issues. But as a small kid, I didn't really pick up on that all that much. Mm-hmm. But they didn't sign the peace accords until 1995. But interestingly, I actually had a lot of freedom while I was there. Like, you know, my friends and I would go up into the hills and go camping when we were like 12 years old, mm-hmm. and pitch our tent and spend the night and come back, you know. And we would climb the volcanoes. Usually that was with an adult. But yeah, it was an incredible place. The culture, it's a Mayan culture. There's 3-4 different languages that are spoken just around the lake that I grew up on. Mm-hmm. And I never got to speak any of those languages, but there's a very strong Mayan culture there, and it's beautiful. And you can see it in the sort of traditional dress that mostly women wear, men not so much. Okay. And then also just, you know, one of my favorite things about being in Guatemala is the open markets and the food and the sort of connection to the land that you get in everything that you see and hear.
Right. What are the characteristics of the food? I mean, do we have any comparisons here?
Well, yeah, certainly. I mean, there's, you know, obviously the mainstay and the staple is tortillas. But interestingly, all tortillas in Guatemala are handmade, like as opposed to some other places where tortillas are a big part. Some of them are kind of like pressed automatically in some sort of big machine, and you get these perfect tortillas. In Guatemala, every single tortilla is made by hand, and so the sound of clapping hands making tortillas in the morning throughout the neighborhoods is a very distinctive part of it. But yeah, so it's tortillas, beans, lots of different vegetable dishes, meats as well. I mean, I grew up mostly vegetarian, so I didn't eat a ton of meat, but mm-hmm. It's really good food. I really enjoy it when I'm there, and I miss it when I'm not.
Oh, very nice. Well, thanks for giving us a little tour of Guatemala. We'll have to have mm-hmm. a chat some other time where we can get right into it. I love learning about different cultures, and, you know, unless you know somebody who grew up there, you're kind of hearing, you know, this is what they do, this is what I experienced in a week, you know, retreat kind of thing. So it's nice to basically speak with somebody who grew up there. That's awesome. Well, thanks for sharing that. Ladies and gentlemen, if you are just dialing in here to KMMT, we are speaking with Jaime Lopez Wolters, the Friends of the Inyo Desert Lands organizer, who's speaking with us today for our ACE program. So Jaime, okay, Friends of the Inyo's got a lot of great things, and one of my favorite events is the Dark Desert Skies. Can you give us what's the lay of the land this year?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's coming up soon. It starts in a week exactly. So it's going to be Friday, May 19th through Sunday, May 21st. And it consists of three parts, really. So on Friday evening, we're going to have films and food at the Film Museum in Lone Pine. Mm-hmm. And we're showing three really amazing films. One of them is Island in the Sky, which talks about Conglomerate Mesa, the area that we're looking to protect. And it's about 20 minutes. And then there's a film called The Last of the Nightingales, which is really cool, especially for folks that are into sound. So there's this fellow, Bernie Krause. He's considered a legendary pioneer of what's called acoustic ecology. And he has been making recordings of the natural environment for decades. And because he's been recording the same places over and over throughout this time period, he's been able to tell that there's a distinct change in different landscapes as they get affected by climate change or mining or other sort of things that, and so even if they're like, or logging, for example. And so that's a really beautiful film. I really enjoy it. It's about 20 minutes as well. Mm-hmm. And then there's 6,000 Miles, which is a film that basically explores Cal Wild's mission to protect 6,000 miles of eligible wild and scenic rivers. And it kind of focuses on two main protagonists, Kayla Lopez, which is a young river activist, and Steve Evans, who's also known as the river guy. Mm-hmm. And that's about 10-minute film. It's really beautiful. And then we're going to, after the films, we'll go outside and a local guy has a mobile pizza oven. He's going to be making pizzas for us. And all of this is free, by the way. So I would highly encourage people to come. Even if you can't come to the entire weekend, coming to see the films, I think is a real treat and absolutely worth it.
Oh, perfect. Okay, so that's Friday, May 19th. It's mm-hmm. next Friday.
Yeah.
So, and it's free. That's amazing. I love that you guys do that. Now, what time does it start?
So we're starting at about 5 o'clock, and we're going to show the films, and then we'll have food.
Okay, what time does
it start? But you can...
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
But you can go to friendsoftheinyo.org/events and sign up, and then you'll get an email with all the details. In fact, I'm going to be sending that out later today.
Okay, so we definitely want, if we're going to go, we want to be able to save a seat. Is that why we would need to register?
Yes, you do have to register. One, okay. We need to know that you are coming for both seats in the theater and the food. And also, if you're coming to the rest of the event, there's specifics that we need to know that relate to the following day. So Saturday, we're driving out to Conglomerate Mesa and going on a hike there, but it's a rough road. So we need to know the kind of vehicle you have. And if you don't have a high clearance four-wheel drive, then we need to be able to coordinate carpooling and all that stuff. So definitely important to register.
Okay, got it. Yeah, for the camping part, I would say, you know, 100%. But for Friday night, let's say, for example, I'm going, right? There's three films. It's going to be nice to hang out down, you know, head on down from Mammoth to Lone Pine at the museum down there. Starts at 5 o'clock. Is that when the first show or the first film is going to start? Or is it kind of gather at 5? It starts at 5:30, something like that. Do you know?
Yeah, it's going to be gather at 5.
Gather at 5. Okay. Yeah, because I'm going to have to get out of work and I'm going to cruise down there, right? And I got a plan for a couple hours. So, awesome. Yeah. That's great. All right. So, tell us about the hike on Conglomerate Mesa, the camping on Sentinel Flat.
Centennial Flat is just kind of, if you're driving, so first of all, just to orient people as to the area that we're talking about.
Yeah,
so Owens Lake, you know, Southern Inyo, and you've got the little town of Keeler, which is on Highway 136. Due east of that is Conglomerate Mesa in the mountains. It's a little bit south of Cerro Gordo, the old ghost town. But you can't get there by just going east from Keeler. You have to drive further south, get onto the 190 as if you were heading to Death Valley National Park. But well before you even get to the turnoff for Darwin, there's two turnoffs. And if you go north on Saline Valley Road, you would eventually get to Conglomerate Mesa the way that we're going. Mm-hmm. And from that same turnoff, if you go south, you get to Centennial Flat, which is an incredible Joshua tree forest, which is currently almost fully in bloom. We were there just a week ago, and almost all the Joshua trees are blooming, which is pretty amazing.
Awesome. All right. So it's basically we're camping Friday night through Sunday night, or do we,
from Friday or sorry, no, Friday night is just the films in Lone Pine. We're heading out on Saturday and we're camping Saturday to Sunday.
Okay. So, Sunday there's some activities going on as well.
Yeah. Sunday morning we'll get up and, it's a short drive to Black Rock Canyon, and we'll do a hike there. There's a couple of springs, Black Springs, that are beautiful. And again, that whole area right now is kind of peaking as far as the wildflower bloom, so it'll be a really nice time to be there and do that hike.
Dude, that's awesome. And this is all free to us. That's amazing that you guys do that. I appreciate that.
Yeah. And as far as the camping, just to kind of be clear, we're basically expecting people to be self-sufficient. So you bring your own tent / camper or trailer or whatever. The road to get there is a dirt road, but it's not anything that would require four-wheel drive. And then you would basically supply your own food. So, you know, we're camping together and we're hanging out. We have some telescopes that we'll set up in the evening so that we can look at the stars. We have a local guy from Bishop, his name is Paul Rasmussen. He works at the Owens Valley Observatory, the radio observatory. He builds telescopes, and he's going to be out with us and telling us a little bit about his work as well.
Oh, that's amazing. So not only do you get to camp in a beautiful place and hike, but you get to have, you know, someone who is really passionate about looking at the sky with telescopes. That's really great. That's awesomeness. All right. So, ladies and gentlemen, that's awesome, right? Dark skies, dark desert skies. And how you guys do this just once a year, yes?
No, we do it twice a year. Yeah, once in the spring and once in the fall.
Once in the spring, once in the fall. All right. Oh, that's right. The fall one is beautiful, too. That's right. I remember that. I keep thinking, I guess because of the COVID thing, skip around a little bit. But that's happening May 19th through the 21st on Friday. I mean, he's really passionate about it. You could tell, right, with the films that are going to be shown starting around 5. You want to head on down to Lone Pine for the film museum down there. Island in the Sky is going to be shown. Also, The Last of the Nightingales and 6,000 Miles. And these are short films for those. You know what really does sound interesting is The Last of the Nightingales, hearing the different sounds. That really is
intriguing.
Yeah,
no, for somebody, you know, especially, you know, being a radio guy, for somebody that enjoys sound, and this film is really, really well made, and the sound aspect of it is really cool. So showing it in a theater too, I mean, I've seen it on a computer, I've listened to it with headphones, but I'm really excited to hear it in a theater setting, and it's going to be a treat.
Now, is there, did you mention that some of the directors might be in attendance as well?
Yeah, there's a possibility that the directors that made The Last of the Nightingales and 6,000 Miles, they're the same people, might be in attendance.
Well, that's exciting. I love that. That way you can ask questions afterwards, right? And you know, if there's something within there, you know how you watch a film and then you talk to, you know, a friend or your significant other, and I wonder what they were thinking here and there. Now you could just ask. I love that.
Exactly.
It's perfect.
Yeah, well, definitely hoping to have time for Q&A.
Okay, so we've got, All right, so it's Friday, the May 19th through, and then there's the hike to Conglomerate Mesa, camping on Sentinel Flat. That's the Saturday, the 20th. And then on the 21st, hike to Black Spring in Black Rock Canyon. For all of the information on this event, you can go to friendsoftheinyo.org/events. And you definitely want to register for that so that you guys can prepare in a nice way there. All right, so Friends of the Inyo has always got their, you know, the feet on the ground, right? And you guys are doing great work. Is there something that it's coming up in the near future that we should look out for?
Yeah, so in regard to Conglomerate Mesa, it is an area that's been threatened by a proposed gold mine and the exploration, you know, for that for several years now. Friends of the Inyo and the Coalition to Protect Conglomerate Mesa have been kind of really watching that closely and doing everything we can to kind of prevent that kind of destruction from happening. The gold mine company requested a new sort of series of exploration, which would be go much deeper and be many more sort of drill holes. And BLM, in response, said that they had to do an environmental impact statement. Now, the last time that the BLM put out a request for public comment, there was an unprecedented number of comments. We had over 23,000 comments. And that was in part what contributed to the BLM requiring this much more drastic or much more intensive sort of scrutiny on this next project that the mining company wants to do. So in the near future, we're talking about in the next month or two, there's going to be a new request for public comment from BLM. And as soon as that happens, we're going to put out the word in every way that we can. And we hope that everyone listening and that cares about protecting public lands will look at that and comment again, even if you made a comment before, because the comments that we made in the previous scoping period are not carried over, unfortunately.
They're not carried over. Okay, so everyone who had an opinion before needs to do it again. Okay, good to know.
Yeah.
And there's not a link currently on the Friends of the Inyo website, but you will have that in the upcoming weeks, I suppose?
Yeah, certainly. I mean, we'll put out the word on Friends of the Inyo's social media, and we'll put out an action alert. But also, there's the protectconglomeratemesa.com website and Protect Conglomerate Mesa on Instagram. Those are also places where we will push this message that we really want people to participate in this public comment period.
Okay, good. And then when, do you know how long it's going to be open? Like the...
You know, no, and I should know that, but no, I don't know the length of time that it'll be open.
It's okay. Yeah, give us a ballpark that it's happening soon and we need to look out for it. Certainly, Friends of the Inyo is going to keep us in the loop. I would recommend strongly, if you're listening right now and you're interested in what Friends of the Inyo is doing, and I would say we live here, so definitely get involved. But they have a newsletter that comes out like every month. that will give all of, you know, that gives the latest events and things that are happening. And that's always just a nice reminder to say, oh, okay, I have to make my public comment and say, you know, share our opinions. But friendsoftheinyo.org, or you can go to protectconglomeratemesa.com for their website over there. All right, my friend. Well, it's really been great getting to know you. Do you have a minute for some fun questions?
Absolutely.
All right. So what did you... okay, where are we going to start? Okay, what do you do for fun? Let's start with that. Here in the Eastern Sierra, what do you do?
Most of my fun is outdoors here, and it's one of the reasons I love living here in the Eastern Sierra. So I'm an avid hiker, both on the Inyo side and in the Sierra Nevada when I can. I heard they just opened Whitney Portal Road in part, so it might be time to start exploring kind of that zone. I volunteer for Inyo Search and Rescue as well, so from time to time we get call outs and I get to go with other team members, go and help people come off the mountain safely. Mm-hmm.
Very, very nice. Those are nice. I mean, I'm almost getting tired of asking the question because everybody says, I just love being outside. You know what I'm saying? And the thing is that's what attracts us here. We live in a beautiful area. If you're going to choose to live here, you know, that's going to be number one on the list. And it literally is. But the fact that you're doing some volunteer work over there says a lot about you. Which leads me to my next question, because you're very eloquent and you're obviously passionate about what you do. Was there any advice along the way that you had received from maybe your mother, your father, or maybe through your teachings or learnings that kind of sticks with you on a daily basis? Is like maybe your mantra, or your go-to?
That's a good question. I don't know. Nothing comes to mind as far as like something that was directly taught to be my mother or father, but certainly, you know, I'm 43 years old now, and I've lived a little bit. And I feel like patience and not taking, I'm trying to see how I can word this, not jumping to conclusions, I think is a really important aspect of, living a life where you make the right choices.
Yeah, that's good. Being able to see something happening and not reacting right away, if that's what you're meaning, right? Because patience, you know, it's a virtue for a reason, right? It's been around forever. We all learn this. Patience is a virtue. But to have that patience with a set of eyes that I really, you know, I don't want to jump to conclusions. I want to kind of learn perhaps where, as one example, where another is coming from before I jump down their throats because they, you know, maybe assume through maybe what others might say.
Well said. Thank you for translating.
Yeah, no, I love the subject of, you know, how to be better humans. And that's why I ask the questions, because we're always learning, you know, I'm still learning. It's like, share something with me or remind me of something that maybe I've laid dormant for a minute. So today's message to anyone listening right now is maybe that patience card and not really jumping to conclusions about things. That's great. All right, so I guess one more fun question, or at least a question that I'm interested in. And what kind of music do you listen to?
You know, my taste in music is pretty eclectic, but it's interesting. I didn't grow up, I grew up in Guatemala. I didn't grow up with a ton of music. I think the music that we had was the music that my parents had, which was probably a tape of The Doors, The Beatles, and a few others here and there. So I always find it interesting. My wife, Sarah, who grew up here in the U.S., like she can sing almost every song that was ever played on the radio and knows the lyrics and all that stuff. So I'm very different in that sense. I listen to a lot of different kinds of music. I enjoy country. I enjoy a lot of Latin music. It's kind of all over the place, but yeah, it's just specific. Like I recently, you know, got an account to one of these music streaming things so that I can just kind of hear a lot of new music. And I've been kind of just playing things and there's definitely things that, that sort of spark something in me. And then there's lots of other music that like just leave me not really feeling much. So right. It's interesting. It's an interesting process to sort of discover what it is that you like.
Yeah, so you're open to it. That's good. I mean, I think we've come to a time in our culture where we just appreciate all different styles of music. You know, maybe, you know, my generation and older, they were kind of like, I love my 40s or I love my 60s or, you know, they're kind of more in that lane. But I think over time, everyone's kind of softened because it all kind of blends together. And there's, you know, certainly new sounds that are continuing to be invented and created in layerings and whatnot. So that's good. Good to know. So ladies and gentlemen, if you're just tuning into our ACE program, we've got Jaime Lopez Wolters. He's the Desert Lands organizer for Friends of the Inyo, sharing with us an event that's you definitely don't want to miss if you're wanting to look for things to do and get that spring fever happening. Dark Desert Skies is happening May 19th through the 21st. And say you can't do all of it, you can definitely go to the film on Friday starting at 5:30. There's three films and food at the Film Museum in Lone Pine. That is free to us. So it's more or less just planning to say, okay, we're going, honey. Got to get there, down there by 5, and the films are going to be great. And they're short, so you're not going to, you know, be there 4 or 5 hours in films. It's going to be probably an hour and a half, 2 hours type of thing. But also Saturday and Sunday, they got the Height Agglomerate Mesa, camping on Sentinel Flat. So bring your own gear and head out there with them. But you definitely want to register in advance, friendsoftheinyo.org/events. Jaime, have I missed anything, my friend?
No, I don't think so. We covered it.
Well, I appreciate you very much. It's really great to get to know you. Really, it's just nice to get to know that our lands are being protected by such good people who have all the right reasons and motivations for doing such. I always ask our guests to choose a song. Have you chosen a song for us today?
Yes, I did.
What'd you choose?
And this was one of these situations where I called in a lifeline. My friend who lives next door knows way more about music than I, and we were having dinner, and I was like, I kind of come up with the song. And so we listened to many songs about dark desert skies and desert skies and whatnot. And most of them didn't appeal. And then all of a sudden one jumped out that was really wonderful. And it's a good song. It's Stardust by Willie Nelson.
Ah, beautiful. Okay, let's get to it. Jaime, thanks again. We'll do this again very soon, yes?
All right.
All right, have a great event. And we'll be talking to you soon. All right, my friends, we've got a suggestion from the Desert Lands organizer. Jaime Lopez Wolters has suggested Willie Nelson, Stardust. Let's do it.
Sometimes I wonder why I spend the lonely nights dreaming of a song, the melody haunts my reverie, and I am once again with you. When our love was new and each kiss an inspiration, but that was long ago, and now my consolation is in stardust of a song beside the garden wall. When stars are bright, you are in my arms. The nightingale tells his fairy tales of paradise where roses grew. And though I dream in vain, in my heart there always will remain my stardust melody, the memory of love's refrain. always will remain my stardust melody, the memory of love's refrain. Stardust melody, the memory of love's refrain.